You're listening to Cattails.
Hi, I'm Kat, and you're listening to Cattails. There are some people who deserve to be in demand, and bassist aficionado Marco Mendoza is one such person. He's rocked the world with Ted Nugent, Whitesnake, Thin Lizzy, Black Star Riders, and collaborated with music's greats. And now he chats with me about the excesses of rock and roll, divine intervention, and playing a bit of jazz. This is The One with Marco Mendoza.
Right, so here we are, Marco.
Yes, Kat,
yeah.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Again. The last time I saw
Well, do you know, it's about a year or so ago. Now, every time I see you, you're with a different band. There was Thin Lizzy, Black Star Riders, Dead Daisies, and now you're solo. Are you the bit of a nomad of the music industry?
Well, it seems like that, but the fact is that I love what I do, one. Two, without sounding pretentious, I get called for a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And being that if you put those two together, if you love what you do and you get a lot of opportunities to do it, it seems like you're doing a lot. But
yeah.
But no, I just spend some time at home, you know, after Christmas. I mean, I think we finished with the Daisies in Austria on December 20th, 21st. I was home. I was home for a month with my kids, my wife. We had a blast. The weather was cold, like here, but we had a great time. And then I'll tell you what happened. When I was out there with the Dead Daisies, we were behind that album, Make Some Noise.
Yeah.
It just blew up. We were getting all the best reviews, da, da, da. And then all of us, because we all do different projects, including myself, started getting calls from the agents. Well, what do you think about doing a couple of dates? What do you think about doing that? And then, you know, and you don't think about it. I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And we started with the UK, Italy, Austria, and Switzerland. It was like maybe 18 dates, 15 dates.
Okay.
It was
going to
be short. Come in, do it in 2.5 weeks, go home, because I've got some other project going on at home that I'll let you guys know about it sooner or later.
Oh.
It's really cool.
Oh, sounds exciting.
Yes. So once I opened the, if you will, the flood doors, and we announced the dates back in November or something, I got the green light from the Dead Daisies. We're not going to do anything until mid-May, New York. We start rehearsals, we go out. So all of a sudden, Germany and Czech Republic and Poland and Spain and Russia, I'm still adding dates as we speak.
Oh, crikey.
You know, I have a great wife and I have a great family. They understand the nature of the business. They're like, Papa, go, do it, book it, because before you know it, we'll be able to spend time at home.
Yeah.
They're busy. My wife's got a full-time job, gets her to school, jamming. So everybody's busy, you know.
Well, it's a lifestyle, isn't it, that you're into,
really? And they're so familiar with it. It's no big deal.
No.
Other families go, well, how is it possible? How can you do this? And that's all we know.
Yes.
We're gypsies.
I know.
It's in our blood,
you
know. So, I'm very happy, to be honest. I mean, the shows have been over the top. We're definitely getting more numbers into the clubs.
Good.
People are, like yourself, are interested in interviews, and people want to know what's going on. So we're building something here, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that we get momentum to a place where I can come here once a year, every year, you
absolutely.
Know?
Yes, absolutely.
And hang out with the UK fans, which I love. I've been coming here since 1935. Or something like that.
I know how you feel.
With so many different bands. But so there's a relationship.
Yeah.
We're familiar with each other. And,
sure.
And I love it. You guys here, you guys support me. The shows have been over the top. Great.
Brilliant.
Really, I'm like, the only thing I will say is next time I will pace myself a little better, because this will be number 17 in a row.
Crikey, that's
with
one
no
heck
days
of
off. And you throw in the equation, throw the travel, interviews, and you know, meet and greet after. So
that's
like a little bit of wear and tear. But
sure.
You know, when you're traveling and you're touring at this level, you kind of need to do it there. Otherwise, you know, the bank account gets a hit.
Yeah.
And we're trying not to do that, because my kids love milk.
Yeah,
they drink
like
a lot
of
milk.
They like to eat.
And I'm trying to be the provider here. So it's all good. It's been great. So that's what happened.
Brilliant.
Started building. And
but look, you need a lot of stamina, don't you, for that? How do you sort of get prepared for it? Do you have to really sort of be at your top of your game and, well, physically and emotionally, mentally?
I mean, talk about it all the time. My main thing, and I'll say this, and I said very, very proudly, and I'm one of the lucky ones. I don't do any drugs. I don't do any drinking. I don't do any pills. So, as a matter of fact, next September 20th will be at 3 o'clock this year, 2017, will be 30 years.
Oh, my God. Well done. Oh, well, that's congratulations.
And so I really attribute my stamina to that because I'm not a young cat. I was born in
1928, wasn't it?
28, okay. So I'm up there. And you throw all that in the equation. You love what you do. I always look forward to getting up on stage and sharing my music, my message, whatever it is, my fun with the audience.
Sure.
That's my adrenaline. That's my endorphin fix of the day. So I look forward to that. I try to eat right. I try to exercise, although on this run I haven't been able to because it's my exercise time is on stage.
On stage, really, isn't
aerobics.
It? Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I'm wet every night.
Yes, it's a heavy old deal, isn't it?
So you find a way to re-energize yourself. I do a lot of I'm chewing on ginger as we speak right now.
Oh right, okay.
And trying not to do a lot of coffee. I'm doing some hot tea.
Oh okay.
Vitamin C, keep the vitamins and the multivitamins going. All
right.
That stuff.
So it sounds like you look after yourself and prepare yourself.
I have to. Yeah. This is the only body I have. And maybe to an obsessive, compulsive extreme.
Right.
Only because I did a lot of damage to my body when I was younger. I ended up as a heroin addict, high blood cocaine, IV, and I did a lot of damage.
That's
and I won't get into
it.
That. That's,
no, no,
that's
no.
going to come out in some book somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the future, I would love to talk about sobriety, my journey.
But, it sounds like a big journey, but you're obviously at the end of that journey.
I came out of it. By the grace of God, I came out.
You were at the right end of it. Good.
Definitely, divine intervention in my life came in, because I couldn't do it for myself. So,
you said the divine intervention. Do you think that's been important throughout your life? You know, that's been one important moment where, you know, perhaps you've had a bit of help and guidance.
Absolutely.
Has that happened before or since?
No, I was a kid. I was very young when I got recruited to tour.
Yeah.
And I fell into every possible hole that you can imagine. So I was very young. I was 16, when I did my first big tour. And then all of a sudden money came and a little bit of notoriety and a little bit of fame, a fortune. And I went bananas. So I fell into that big hole of drug and alcohol abuse.
As lots of them do, don't they? You know, it's almost part and parcel, isn't it, with the business?
Yes.
You know, and to tear yourself out of that, it must be horrendously difficult.
It's around, it's available constantly. But so, having been grown up in a Christian home with my grandma and going to church and all that, I had a strong connection spiritually. And So it's apparent to me, I choose to believe that, and everybody's entitled to their beliefs, but I believe that God intervened in my life and took me out of that in the form of getting me busted.
Oh, right,
I got busted, I got thrown in jail, and I was facing, I won't get into the details, but it was some bad stuff, real bad stuff. And I was facing 15 years in the penitentiary in California. So yeah, there was a moment of lucidity, of clarity. And I saw my life before me just wasting away in the pen, in that system,
Sure.
And I got on my knees and I prayed from the heart and I cried like a little girl. Imagine me, tough guys in there, I'm on my knees folding and asking for
that's incredible.
For guidance. And I cried like a little girl. Yeah. And from that moment on, Kat, I'm not exaggerating, from that moment, the next morning I went in front of the judge. And the story changed. Everything.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's almost like, yes, there was something, God intervened. And my judgment was going to be 15 years at least. All of a sudden, the judge found a way, and it's hard to say, I look at your records, and you definitely have a drug and alcohol problem. You're out of control. I'm going to give you one last chance.
Oh, my God.
And they put me in this... they call it remodification, lockdown. It's like being in jail. Military school, in jail, supported by the 12-step program. So they break you down, they kind of dissolve you, and they put nothing but good and positive beliefs in your brain. You kind of erase all that you've ever known, your past, the whole thing, and then they start building you up. And it was called Impact in Pasadena, California.
That's incredible.
Made famous by Heidi Fleiss when she got busted. And saved my life.
Incredible, incredible.
So that's what happened. And from that moment on, I mean, life changed, and I appreciated every moment. And I still do. And one of the things that changed for me is I learned how to respect music and the fact that people would call you to work with them and collaborate with them.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I went from the kid or the guy that would show up late, prepared, wasted, with a big old attitude and a big old chip on my shoulder, to the guy that would show up prepared, on time, with a big attitude. I call it the attitude of gratitude. Oh. And then the rest took care of itself.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I started getting a lot of work, a lot of calls.
And it all changed for you.
I also decided to go to L.A. of the industry to...
Thank you.
It's kind of like I was given another opportunity with a different pair of eyeglasses. I could see clearer. And I wanted to take every opportunity to make a difference because I felt like I had lost some time.
Well, that's incredible.
And I had met some people in the industry by then, and I had a few friends that helped me out that understood.
So once you had that experience then, how did you actually move from that to actually working again? Do people, you know, the friends that you had before, you look behind your shoulder and they've all buggered off, you know?
There was a lot of people that wouldn't... You know, when they heard the name, they were, we don't know, man, he's a mess, you know.
Yeah.
There's some people that gave me a break. And from there, like I said, I prepared myself, I showed up, and I started getting some confidence. Mind you, it was the first time playing sober on stage, which was...
And I
got to the point where that became my fix.
Okay.
And almost I'm addicted to it. Substituted the high, the actual high.
Yeah.
Now I get high on stage with the adrenaline endorphins.
And what better way is there? I mean, that's great, isn't it? You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's all worth
it. It is, isn't it?
Enough, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if, you know, obviously you've got lots of collaborations that you're involved in, or you have in the past, and you move on from one to the other. As I say, a nomad of the music industry, and of course solo is your big thing here. Is there anybody that you would like to be playing with, you know, if you had a choice?
So many. You know, there's so many bands that I grew up listening to, and I've been very lucky that I've been able to kind of, let's just say that my reality way exceeded my dreams. I've exceeded what I thought I could possibly accomplish so many times over. You know.
Brilliant.
Working with, you know, Coverdale and Ted Nugent and Thin Lizzy and Whitesnake and Dolores O'Riordan and Neil Sean and, you know, a few more, Edgar Winter, Al Jarreau, who just passed away. I worked with him too.
Really?
In LA.
Oh, wow.
And so many others.
Yeah. Incredible.
So it's been a great journey.
Yeah.
But ultimately... For me, putting the business aside, because there is a side of the business that sustains this whole thing.
Yeah.
I get more satisfaction out of my solo gigs than anywhere else.
Right.
Because I am putting my, myself on the cutting board there, and people show up, it's up to me.
Yes.
You know, I'm delivering the show, I'm singing, I'm writing songs, I'm talking about what I'm talking, I'm sharing stories. And people are interested, so far so good. Nice.
Yeah, all ends upon your shoulders, and it stands or falls by you. And there's something satisfying about that, isn't there?
And I can't wait to do another album, and I'm talking to a few labels, we do that.
Because you've got three albums you've done solo, haven't you? Of course, just, like, the Dead Daisies is just bring out another one.
Yeah.
Was it just released yet? Or
Makes a Noise came out August. It was acclaimed, it just did so well. Again, exceeded all our expectations.
Yeah.
And now we have, because every interview that we all did, we all felt like, you know, this is a live band. We like to perform. It's a powerhouse.
Sure.
And I think everybody agrees.
Yeah.
So why don't we capture that? So that's what we're doing.
Fine.
We have an album coming out, Live and Louder, in May.
Ah, I thought you did.
And then we come out and start doing all the festivals, most of them, like Download, Hellfest, Sweden Rock, and all that.
So all this year.
we'll be promoting that album. Alive and Loud at daisies.com.
Brilliant. Now, between here and there, I hear you're going out with a jazz, a little jazz number you're doing in between all that.
What
on earth is that? Tell me about that.
Well, that's a project I've had around for years. In LA, I put it together between touring. Also, it's another way for me to express myself, be creative. But that one's very eclectic in that it's based on the jazz format, and that a lot of improvisation happens.
That's terrific.
So you really have to be on top of your skills. And every night, playing with those guys, Renato Neto on keyboards, who's from Brazil, who's been working with Joe Bonamassa, Rod Stewart, and he spent 10, 12 years with Prince.
Wow.
Amazing keyboard player, talented.
Terrific.
Joey and Eddie on drums has also played with everybody, Steve Lukather, Scott Henderson, Shiai, Tower Power.
Wow.
So these guys are like musicianship, their musicianship level is so high that I gotta put a different hat on.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
But it's a fun band. So we're doing, we're going to Dubai, we're going to Sri Lanka, Colombo. We are doing Cape Town, Johannesburg, and then I reconvene with the guys with the Rockets and continue the tours. Everything will be at MarcoMendoza.com, Facebook, Marco Mendoza.
Excellent.
Yeah, the fan page, Marco Mendoza, I guess.
That's where they get
and the DeadDaisies.com.
Of course, it's all brilliant. Yeah. Thank you so much, Marco.
My
it's been
pleasure.
A wonderful pleasure as usual.
And thank you for
I'm looking
support.
Forward to it. No
okay.
worries. Thank you
Send
very
me
much.
The link.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you, my darling.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank
you.
You've been listening to Cattails.
To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.